From your heart, you are Lord. You're my Lord. You're my Lord. You have risen from the dead, and you're my Lord. Every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I look forward to this night every year. It's just such a blessing to hear from everybody. Olivas, God bless you. We miss you. So good to see you. My goodness, what a blessing. To start, would you open your Bibles or open your Bible app on your phone? Let's go to the book of Psalms 111. How many have that one memorized? I think this is wonderful. And I'm going to ask tonight, let's the men read the first verse, the ladies the second, and so on. We'll just trade back and forth. But let's read together. Men, first verse, all ladies together on the second. Let me know when you got your place. Let's give praise to the Lord in everything that we are and have and do. Amen. Ready, everybody? Men. Praise ye the Lord. I will praise the Lord with my whole heart in the assembly of the upright and in the congregation. Ladies?
The works of the Lord are great, sought out of all them that pleasure therein.
Men, his work is honorable and glorious. His righteousness endures forever. Men has given meat unto them that fear him. He will ever be mindful of his covenant.
He has showed his people the power of his works, that he may give them the heritage of the heathen.
Amen. The works of his hands are verity and judgment, and all his commandments are sure. He sent redemption unto his people. He hath commanded his covenant forever. The holy and reverend is his name.
The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that keep his commandments. His praise endureth forever.
Amen. So, for Olivas, it's been a while since you guys have been here, but this is our testimony night. So we'd love to hear from each and every single person. And let's hear what the Lord has done. And 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 3, for as much as you are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tables of stones, but in fleshly tables of the heart. Let's testify what he has written in our hearts this year. And I've already had a request. Charity said, I need to be first because my nerves can't stand it wholly long. So, and I think Peter's going to come help her, right? So whoever comes up, take the mic so it can be everybody heard, and I think people might be listening online.
God bless you all. Nice to be back. And if you think of it, keep Frida in your prayers. It's been a really difficult adjustment, and it's truly only the strength of the Lord that's keeping her going day by day. And I know she covets your prayers and would appreciate them. So nice to see you all. And we just got back yesterday evening, and I was praying and if there'd be anything to say. The Lord dropped something in my heart when we're just a block away from home, and I had the opportunity to talk to the young people a month ago and share with them my journey in their shoes at their age, being raised in the message and the wiles of the devil, the faults and the failures, the pulls of the world. And I got to let them know I sit among them and stand among you only by God's grace. And that he has saved me from myself. And so they got to see here some specific challenges and faults and failures and stupidities that we all have. But my favorite part of the evening was I ended with a quote of Brother Branham explaining how the blood is the bleach and how precious that was. And there was a quote that Brother Branham says, you drop ink, our sin, our unbelief, into the bleach of God's blood, and you can't find it. It's gone. And so I had did that as an illustration for the kids. And I tested it a couple weeks before. And I'm going to do that tonight for you. Get a little illustration, but I wish Philip was here because he'd be able to put the words up for me. But I'm going to have Brother Branham because, let's see if I can find it. It's only four paragraphs. It's not too long. But he talks about we're born under Satan's dominion. And in the Old Testament, the blood of bulls and goats could only cover sin. But when the blood of Jesus came, it was that bleach. And he said when it's dropped, a confessed sin is dropped into that blood, it can't be found again. And it goes back to Satan till the days of judgment. And so I'm going to have him because I can't do that justice. So just give me a minute here.
But when he crossed, he separated his sonship. He's a sinner by nature. He's under the hands and dominion of Satan. And God took a sacrifice, a chemical of the blood. But the blood of bulls and goats did not divorce sin. It only covered sin. Right. If I've got a red spot on my hand and cover it with white, the red spot's still there. See, it's still there. But God sent down from heaven a bleach for sin. Amen. It was the blood of his own son. Amen. That when our confessed sin drops into God's bleach, try to fight it again. Amen. The color of sin goes back through the mediators and down through the time until it hits the accuser, Satan, and lays on him till the day of the judgment. What happens to the Son? He becomes in perfect fellowship with the Father again, standing on his other side of the chasm with no remembrance of sin against him. No more stain of bleach can be seen anywhere. Thrown into a lake of fire. And the chasm is bridged and never occurred. come in remembrance no more.
Hallelujah.
And a man stands justified as a son of God.
Amen.
So to hear that and your heart just grabs it with everything in you and you believe it, but to see it just drives down to the anchor. So I need Peter to help me so I don't spill bleach and ink. Like he said, try and find it. Yeah. Accuses us and beats us down from. We can stand. Amen. And with such security, clean before him, not because of our own doing, but purely by his. And just one more quote of him. Let's see here. All right. And this is from Invisible Union. Just Thanksgiving before Brother Branham was taken off the scene. And again, you hear the heart of the Holy Spirit speaking through him and declaring, we're perfect. And the judge is speaking here.
You're standing completely. You never sinned in the first place. God don't even know that. It's in the sea of forgiveness. You never did it. You were accused of it by the accuser. But really, from the beginning, you were predestinated to be a son and daughter of God. You're standing there washed, and your old book of divorcement's put away. And it's dead, absolutely out of existence, even in the mind of God. You're the virtuous bride of Christ, washed in the blood of Christ. Precious, virtuous, sinless Son of God, standing with a pure, unadulterated bride, word that he washed by the water of his own blood that become flesh and manifested, that he might take you, which were predestinated in the bosom of the Father before the beginning, the same as he was. He was that great attribute of God called love.
So the same way we ended at youth group, Nate, would you please lead us? Just, we'll sing a cappella. Would you be free from your burden of sin? There's power in the blood.
Would you be free from your burden of sin? There's power.
God bless you all. Well, all I can say is it's
It's been a lot of trials this last year, a lot of battles. I know a lot of people can identify with that. But we find such comfort in the Word of God. When trials come, battles come, we just open up the Word, look in there, and it just lifts you up. And the Lord gives you such comfort. You know, losing my dad this last year was difficult, just never ready to, especially so sudden. But again, you thank God for it, because He does all things perfectly well. And we just look to Him for strength, and He's given us strength. And just got a couple of scriptures here. Just want to read, and this is from 2 Corinthians 4. We'll start with verse 8 here. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live and always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. And also down to 17 and 18. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So again, looking into the Word of God gives us such hope. Many people just look at our circumstances and the things that we're going through, and they don't know how to handle it. They just handle it into the natural realm. They're stressed out, or even people at work, you know, so many different situations and families. I've talked to many people at work, and they just don't know how to handle these things of life. You try to encourage them, but looking into the Word of God, it brings such comfort and such peace. I got a couple quotes here, too, from Brother Branham. This is from Divine Love and Sovereign Grace. He says, no matter what comes or goes, God orders it. Maybe through trials, and it may be through troubles and tribulation, but as long as God's leading, what difference does it make? Right? And one more. This is from I Know in 60. There was too much of you in you till God had to squeeze it out through trials. And while that squeezing was coming on, it's hard. But after a while, the skies clear back and you see the purpose of God. And you cry, I know my Redeemer liveth, as Job did. So as we move into, you know, this new year, 2025, there's going to be trials, there's going to be tribulations, there's going to be hard things we're going to endure. But as Jesus said, be of good cheer, I have overcome. And so we will overcome because He will give us strength. So I just wanted to read those things just to encourage you tonight. So God bless you.
Bless you. Amen. The Lord is good all the time.
Amen.
All the time. So I can say, first of all, I just want to start with a scripture. That's Isaiah 43. It's a very common one. I'm sorry. I'll just just read it here. It says, but now, thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. And I'd like to read 1 Corinthians. I'm sorry, 2 Corinthians 1:20. For the promises of God in him are yea, and in him amen, unto the glory of God by us. Isn't that wonderful? I'm so thankful that every need that we have, we find it fulfilled in Christ. In him is yea, and in him is amen. Amen. And 2025, obviously, for the Schwartz family, was also a year of testing and trials. Earlier in the year, I got word that I had cancer, and cancer of the tongue specifically, and going through surgery in July, and not really hearing a real word as to how, but knowing the promise of God that by his stripes I am healed. Amen. By his stripes I am healed. Nonetheless, I submitted myself to surgery because God uses doctors too.
Amen.
Yeah, I remember hearing that one quote where a lady came in and absolutely did not believe in doctors. And the Spirit of the Lord called that out and said, if you go see such and such a doctor, amen, God will heal you. And that's exactly what she did, and the Lord healed her. So things don't always go according to our prescribed, conceived, thank you, sister, a method of how it is that God is going to do something. The thing is that we just want to be open to him as to however he leads, however he directs, that he is with us. And so I do want to say, I do want to confess that even through all the surgery, and I've already testified of that just for the space of time here, his presence was with us. Amen. And the time that we were home convalescing, the Lord was with us. And the Lord touched us and so forth and so on. And I just want to thank the Lord for his promises that no matter what it is that he allows us to go through by his grace, he has a purpose in it. And sometimes we get a little bit too comfortable maybe here in this life, and the Lord has a way of stirring the nest, you know, making it a little stickery so that we move out of our comfort zone, if you would. And sometimes Satan thinks he has got a hold on us, something that he wants to do. But the Lord has got the final answer. And he said, I will work all things together for those that love God and are the called according to his purpose. Amen. So you're probably wondering where I am right now. I got another PET scan and I'm clean except for one little spot way back on my throat they're finding. And I went through an MRI and they gave a certain verdict, and the doctor said, well, you can't really tell unless you have it biopsied. I said, but then what? I said, well, then you'll probably have to go through radiation. Okay, well, that's what I wanted to know. And I still want to talk to the head surgeon, but to me, he pulled me out of the river. Amen. Now, Satan splashed a little bit on my feet and says, you're still wet. You know something, but I'm out of the river. Amen. I can't drown with a little water on my feet. I'm sorry. Satan, you're a liar and the father of lies. Get thee hence. And so by his stripes, I still hold to that promise. Remember what Brother Bram said? I read the quote, that symptoms are such a scarecrow. Satan tries to use those things to threaten you. They're nothing. They're nothing in the sight of God, and they're nothing to me. I believe the Lord. Amen. Claim the promise that by his stripes I'm healed. Amen. And so anything else that you all go through, God is with you. Amen. Lord bless you.
I got a lot of thoughts swirling in my head, and I thought that earlier I would maybe jot them down, and I didn't. So if anything comes out coherently, that'll be amazing. But what has been on my mind for much of this year is words, the power of words, and the miracle that God can take words and bring them to life in us. And, you know, what we've been talking about today is hardships. And we've all been through a lot, right? And we hear that it's not, you know, specific to this assembly. We hear reports through all churches that, you know, many people are going through lots of things this year, have been through a lot of things. But my testimony tonight is you all and the blessing that through the hardships, the words that come out of your mouth and the lives that I have seen lived, we press, like, you know, struggle through those things, and we just hope that we're found faithful. I have seen so much victory,
amen.
So much perseverance through all of you. It has encouraged me to no end. I just am amazed that those words that we're taking in, they have brought life. They've brought reality to each heart here, and it's on display. You know, sometimes we get caught up in the day-to-day, the hardships, and Lord, have I done enough for you? Have I done? Sometimes you just take a step back and say, maybe I'm not what I ought to be, but I'm not what I used to be. And he has done so much through us, all through the power of his word. I just want you all to know that I've been so encouraged. I could name so many instances of things I've been so encouraged to see how you've navigated, and your testimony through it all has just been such a blessing to me and so encouraging to me.
It's amazing because that's the exact same thing that the Lord put on my heart. All I can say is glory be to God, just seeing how everyone has responded to the trials that you've faced and the strength that can only come from him. And, yeah, it was a real blessing.
I'm going to share something a little different. First of all, I have to say thank you to this group for welcoming me in. I was invited here. It was perfect timing because previously in my occupation, which ceased in July, I wasn't able to attend church. I would listen to it at home because I was so busy during the week. However, when I stopped, I was far less busy, and I was able to come here. And I've been coming here, and since I started, the worship music came on as I sat down and listened, and it was like scriptures were exploding in my mind. It was truly amazing, and things have been opening up to me ever since. But I'd like to share a little experience that I had several years ago, back in the winter, January or so of 2023. As most of you know, I've been a driver. I would take people to their medical appointments and back home and so forth. And I was driving on a road, and I had to take a left turn, and it just had a snowstorm, and there was a bunch of snow plowed up on the road, on the side of the road in the ditch. And as it came around the corner, it wasn't really a ditch, it was just a hill. But it was really icy, and I went slow, knowing that I'd have to proceed very slow. Unfortunately, not slow enough, apparently, because I went right up into the snowbank. Only had my vehicle for a couple months, if that. All-wheel drive, still I was stuck. Well, I thought, well, I can't get out, so I better call AAA. I reached down for my phone. Then I realized that I'd forgotten it at home, which was 2 miles away. The rider I was supposed to pick up was about half a mile away. Now, a lot of people would panic and say, wow, and really bum out about that situation. But there's one scripture I'd like to read and share that has been a benchmark that I follow for my life. And it's Philippians 2, 14, 15. Do all things without grumbling or disputing, that you may be blameless and innocent children of God without blemish, in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation among whom you shine as lights in the world. What that says is, focus on your blessings. Because if you're complaining, you're not looking at your blessings. You're not seeing the things that God has for you, because you're looking at the things that Satan has for you. You're sticking in the carnal. You're not looking into the eternal. So, given back to the situation, all this was going through my mind real quick. Okay, I don't know what I'm going to do here, but I'm not panicking. I have faith in God. And within 2 minutes, somebody appears at my window. This guy, all wintered up with his sun goggles, fashionable, I must say, with a shovel in his arms. I rolled down the window. He says, yeah, I see you got stuck here. They haven't treated these roads, so I can see where it happened. If you'd like, I can help dig you out. And I said, I would love that, sir. I'd appreciate that. Thank you. And just as he went over to start digging me out in the front end, along comes these two people walking toward me, these two men. One of them has a shovel in his hands. And next thing I know, two guys are digging me out. And when they get it dug out, within a matter of minutes, the three of them pushed me out, and I got out. I had my window down, and they approached me in the window, and I says, and I remember this well, I said, there's a special place in heaven for the three of you. And I said, I wish I had some, and I just said, well, I wish I had some money to pay you, but I don't. And so that's okay. They said, we're just glad we were able to get you out of there, and I hope you have a good day. So I'm backing out, and I'm kind of looking around, and I'm trained in observation. I work for the airlines, Dave. So... yeah, I'm going to pick on you. Anyway, so I'm trying to observe. So I'm looking around a little bit as I'm backing up, and I look for these guys. One, I don't want to hit any of them. Number two, I just want to kind of give them a look of gratitude one more time. But they were gone. Now, keep in mind, where I was, you had to go at least 75 to 150 yards to get out of sight in any direction because it was an open area. Had to go across a yard to a building, down the road to a building, across a field to another building, back across a big road to the housing development. But they were gone. They were just flat gone. I have to believe, and I do, this was an encounter with angels. Trust me, folks. God is out there in so many ways. In so many ways. Okay, that was in the past. Recently, I did have an experience where I basically lost my income, basically half of my monthly income, when the driving agency I was driving for shut down as the lady had retired. That is an upheaval, to say the least. However, I did not panic. I did not get down. I trusted in God. I sat down. I made adjustments. I did some things. He made the adjustments, and I got through it, and I found that I could. I would just need a little help. Some of my former riders would look me up and ask me to give them rides still, I would charge a little fee, a low fee, just to help me stay afloat. And those rides have been coming in. People call me up and say, well, you know, we need a ride. Can you give me a ride on this day or that day? Trips to the airport. It's working out. God is providing. So I want to say, and I don't want to plagiarize anyone here, but God is good all of the time.
Amen.
Thank you and amen.
I want to give you thanks
for
all your blessings
a cada uno de ustedes.
To each and every one of you.
No he compartido mucho tiempo con ustedes.
I haven't really spent so much time with you personally.
El año pasado,
last year,
falleció mi hermano.
One of my brothers passed away.
Y yo pensé que estaba lista.
I told myself that I was ready for that.
Pero uno nunca está lista para.
But you are never ready for something like that.
Por personas que.
For people that.
Que te cuidaron desde pequeña.
They watch over you since you were little.
Y pero han sido una bendición tan grande.
You have been such a big blessing.
Cada uno de ustedes.
Each and every one of you.
El hermano Don.
Brother Don.
Con su esposa,
with
cada
his
uno,
wife,
la hermana Lianel, el hermano
Sister
Randy,
Lianel, brother
cada
Randy,
uno de ustedes.
He's one of you.
Y cuando me han diagnosticado,
y when I have been diagnosed,
con tantas cosas,
with so many things,
siempre he dicho,
always I have
yo
said,
no lo tengo.
I don't have it.
Y año me volvieron a diagnosticado con Santi.
Did it again and got diagnosed me with something.
Y me mandaron una medicina muy fuerte.
And they did send me a medicine very, very strong.
Y y le pido perdón porque yo le dije a la doctora que me tomé la medicina.
And I asked forgiveness for the
le pedí perdón
sorry,
a Dios.
To the doctor and I say to God the same, sorry. Because I said that I took the medicine.
Porque mi hija Viridian es farmacista y
my daughter Viris, she works in the pharmaceutical
y dice,
field.
Si and te
she
tomas says, esta medicina,
if you take this medicine,
te va a acabar todo, todo,
it's,
todo.
It's going to destroy you.
All tu sistema.
All your system, all your body.
Y me puse a orar como siempre.
And I went to pray.
Y y fui.
And I did.
Y me dijo, ¿te tomaste la medicina?
And she asked me, the doctor, when I went to visit her, do you take the medicine?
Y le dije, ay, señor, perdóname.
I said, Lord, forgive me.
Y le dije que sí.
And I said, yes.
Y después me hicieron los análisis.
And then they did the analysis.
Y me dijo, ya puedes ir a visitar todos los doctores.
Now you can go back and visit all the doctors.
Y es por la gracia de Dios
and
que...
And it's by the grace of God that...
Que siempre me... Y sus oraciones.
And the praise of you, of course.
Y su fe tan grande.
And your faith so big.
Y también oren por mi hija Viri.
And please also pray for my daughter Viris.
Yo siempre me gusta hablarle la verdad. Ella está yendo a otra iglesia.
I always like to talk the truth to them and she start attending another church.
Y yo cuando me dijo.
And when she said that to me.
Yo le dije, ¿tú creciste en el mensaje?
I said, you grew up in the message.
Esas son las puertas del infierno.
Those are the gates of hell.
No me dio gusto.
And I wasn't pleased with that.
Me sentí tan mal.
I feel so bad about it.
Pero confío en Dios que.
But I trust in God that.
Es que a veces no me sé expresar correctamente.
Sometimes I don't know how to express myself correctly.
Y le pido a Dios y and les doy
God.
Tantas bendiciones haber encontrado
and
esta.
And I thank him so much for because I have found
esta iglesia,
this place, this
y encontrar a la hermana Charity.
And found Sister Charity as well.
Fue una bendición. Cada uno de ustedes, el hermano Ron, todos ustedes.
All of you.
Y encontré esta escritura que me dio mi hija Lisa en Navidad.
This scripture that my daughter Lisa gave it to me on Christmas.
En Christmas es Marcos 9:23.
Mark 9:23.
Y dice así.
And it says this way.
Si puedes creer.
You can believe.
Al que cree.
To who, that who believes.
Todo es posible.
Everything is possible.
Amen. Dios los bendiga.
God bless you.
A cada uno de ustedes.
Each one of you. Amen. Well, I'm here, so may as well just take the ride along, right?
Amen.
I always like to say something about each and every one of you. So be prepared. Nah, just kidding. Nah, but, you know, whenever you stand up here in front, and, especially like a day like today, where everybody comes and cheers a little bit, so I'm just so happy to hear you speak everything that you guys speak, like sister with the charity with the bleach, you know, and the ink. And I said, what a thing to see, you know, to see putting that thing in the bleach and gone. And I mean, I just love it. Whatever you guys do, maybe she doesn't speak much, but when she speaks, boy, yeah, she does speak. And I love you guys so much. Brother Derek, as the time has been passing by, you know, you learn to love each and every one of you guys. Brother Pete, boy, yeah. Jesse, oh boy. He took a picture for me when I was sleeping. I was so mad. I let him know, of course. And, you know, all those experiences that when we go out with Brother Don and the things that we go through and how God comes through with us. And it's unbelievable. All the things that when you go on these trips, how God manifests himself. And I mean, everybody knows that. The experience that I had when I was over in San Carlos, when we got up on the hill, remember the hill? The steep?
Yes.
And in the middle of nowhere on this place, and Brother Don, he didn't have nothing to talk about. I said, Brother Juan, I don't have nothing. And I said, well, he has taught us so well, you know. I said, well, God will come through. Don't worry, Brother Don. Yeah, I'm trusting too. I said, okay, it's going to be fine. So we got there, and to the last moment, he went to his knees. We were in an open room, right? And all of a sudden, he stand up again. I got it, Brother Juan. I know what he wants me to talk about. I said, okay, that's good. Let's go. And that day, I never forget. It's those things that you stick with, you say. When God wants a man, that was the title of the sermon that God gave to him. And when we came down the stage, such a big thing, because we came down some stairs coming like in a spiral way a little bit. And there is a stage that you got to step in. And when I did that, I don't know, I have it talked and told some people about it. I feel this energy. Nobody told me. I experienced it. And I love him, Brother Don, talking about you had an experience with God and in such a way, you know. And I said, well, I don't know, what is this? And he said, glory to God, his presence was there. And when he started speaking, there was mostly pastors, right? And there was some kind of friction among all of them. And remember that Brother Don was talking about this scripture when God is mending hearts. and everybody started crying. I mean, there was no soul that wasn't crying. And we're talking, I mean, right here were a few people, yes. But that was maybe smaller, but there was more people. And everybody was in tears. And all the difference, yes, God took them away. And how he operates. And then all this experience, you know, I tell the people, just go just adding, 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 and start giving you a little bit of this, little bit of that, and what he's doing. And that's just amazing. And I just want to tell you, we are a conviction, and that has given me so much ever since I started going out with this gentleman here and dragging me, you know. And I love it. I love that. Going through all those experiences, those little rooms, right, brother Jesse? Little rooms. I mean, oh God, it's just so good. I wish that you, everybody, will experience something like that. But we got different ministries. I understand that. Women, especially, you're in your houses. I don't want to even, thank God, you know. I don't have to go through that. I have to be dealing with your kids. And everything, I can see my wife is cleaning, doing this, doing that. And we try to help, but it's not enough. It's just, you know, as a husband, it's never enough for the woman. We love them, though, you know. I love my wife. And when I read that Brother Man said about Sephora with Moses, yes. I said, oh, boy, yeah. So Brother David is thinking, yeah. Brother, run here. Yeah, no, it's true. This is like, I was talking to Brother just once, and this is like, this is how life teaches. And thanks God for that. And thank you for, and I don't keep count on how many years, but maybe Sister Laura knows. Do you know how many years we've been here, Sister? 16. 15? Okay, it's kind of like, here is, right? Yeah, you see, I don't keep count of that, but I know it's a lot of time now. And I thank God for that. And guys, keep it strong. Stand with the Lord. And God bless you all.
That I was thinking on this year. That's 1 Thessalonians 4:11. And that you study to be quiet and to do your own business and to work with your own hands as we commanded you. And this one sticks out to me because I have a tendency to want to think about other people's lives more than my own. Or I start comparing my life, and because of that I get discontent with what I'm supposed to be doing. And so when I just, this little part that, that says, do your own business, like, mind your own business, you know, and not like rudely, but like, I just need to mind the business that he's asked me to do. So pay attention to the gifts he's given me, cultivate those, pay attention to my kids, homeschool my kids, bake bread, whatever it is, just mind my own business, do it well, do it for his glory. And when I do that, I stop feeling discontent. And I'm much more thankful for all that he's given me. And I look at those people I was comparing myself to differently as well. I feel like I see them more clearly in the way that God wants me to see them, instead of me putting my own thoughts in what they must be thinking about me when they're probably not even thinking about me at all. So it just really keeps me centered and focused, and I really appreciate the just mind my own business.
I have a scripture that's going to sound a little bit weird out of context, but it was something that was brought up last Sunday school with Brother Josh. 2 Samuel
11. And it came to pass, after the year was expired, at the time when the kings go forth to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him and all Israel, and they destroyed the children of Ammon and besieged Rabbah. But David tarried still in Jerusalem. And it came to pass in an evening tide that David arose from off his bed and walked upon the roof of the king's house. And from the roof he saw a woman washing herself, and the woman was very beautiful to look upon. And David sent and inquired after the woman. And one said, is not this Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite? Last Sunday school, we were talking about David and Bathsheba and just that whole situation that happened in the Bible and how, you know, we make mistakes, but God is, you know, in it all, and God uses us through that was part of the Sunday school message. I bring that up because of something that happened at camp. Was something small in my devotional group. We had the best devotional group. Some people may disagree with that, but we were group 10. We were small but mighty. In one of the services, Brother Rapp preached. He talked about how, it could have been Brother Trevor, I don't remember, but one of them talked about how we look at Bible characters and we're like, oh, they're perfect. Oh, you know, this is, you know, this was God's man. It's like they were human and they made mistakes. And we were talking about that kind of in our devotional group on the last day, I believe. And I thought of something really struck me, and I said it. God gives us these things, and God puts these things in our lives because he doesn't want us to, well, I don't know every reason for everything, but it could be because he doesn't want us to get too proud or to get too much outside of him. We were talking in Sunday school with David and Bathsheba that it's sort of implied that David should have been out when the kings went to battle. And it was only because he stayed that he saw Bathsheba and was tempted. But that's, to me, that's a sort of proudness. And so it could be that God had to humble him a little bit through that to make sure that he wasn't becoming too high and mighty, to make sure that he wasn't becoming like Saul. And that really spoke to me because I had an experience at camp that I'm not going to get into, but just everything that has happened in my life up to this point, and God making sure that I've gone through stuff and I've done stuff that I'm not proud of. And I don't think anyone would be proud of. But God was in it all. And I'm glad that he brought me through that so that I can have compassion and love for people who may be the worst people on earth. They may dress the worst way. They could talk the worst way. They could act the worst way. But I'm no better than them. And it's only through the grace of God. Amen.
God bless you, saints. Praise God. 2025 is over, Sister Pam. You know, this is, I've heard said, and this is
we're saying this because we know this is the devil trying to do this, is that we've been through so much in 2025. What are we going to do in 20? What are we going to go through in 2026? But think about that. Who would want to go back to 2024? Who would want to go back to 2023, 2022? How about 10 years, Brother Don? And just to think of what the growth that God's brought us through to be able to go into 2026, for us to be encouraged, like Peter and Charity were saying about, you know, we look at each other and we say, it is the Lord, to see his character coming through us to strengthen us, to establish us, to endure the cross with joy, for he is our exceeding joy, for drawing that strength, that delighting in him in every moment, that while all the world of this carnage around us ever increasingly, we can just be in the middle of the chaos in a quiet place of the Most High, that secret place of the Most High, like a bubble around us, even though we're in. And I think that's such a picture of what I've felt this year, as I know you all have, and something that Lord is grounding me into is just being a provider for my family. And when I was working at Costco for 11 years, people would just stare at me with big saucer eyes and saying, you're on one income? That you're nuts. You're nuts. You can't survive on one income. Your wife needs to be working full-time, everything. But to think that we could actually, that the Lord is our provider and the Lord will work it out. And to be able to say, just like David said, teach my hands to war. I pray every week, Lord, teach my hands to provide for my family. Teach these hands to provide for my family. And one principle that I've used so much in this spiritual, and I need to use more, is in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, one of my favorites, how he says in there, I would that you increase more and more. And that word increase means abundance. And I know this isn't a spiritual application that he says it in love. And but to realize that the word more and more, as I've said many times, it means more sooner. Is that Lord can help us to get there more sooner by his strength, taking it every day to grow more and more. And just realizing that we saints are turning a corner, and it's such a wonderful thing to see what God has. And it's amazing. It's not aware of what we shouldn't be doing, right? It's aware of what he has for us, keeping our eyes on the prize, forgetting all that, not ruminating on that, but to be able to keep our eyes on the prize, keep going forward, and more and more increasingly and in abundance, because we're to be out floors as we are increasingly for others. And I'm just so excited this year to do that for others and to see what the Lord has. I'm so thankful that for Uncle Joel, I think the testimony really is just that we were just praying for him for the last 10 years because we didn't know when it was his time, because he had the aorta that had burst and they had to get surgery on that or otherwise he would die. And then it was what Uncle Lanky died of, is that they tried to stitch it up, but it was like stitching baloney and they couldn't get it to close. And so with Uncle Joel, he had a different surgeon, and they were able to put felt around the both sides of it and then close around the felt to compress that that open herniated aorta, and were able to get that closed up. And that was over 10 years ago. And just Uncle Joel, even was it 3 months ago, we went to see him because he had a bulge in his chest that was about an inch, and they were very concerned that it could just pop at any moment. And we just went and prayed with him and gave him a prayer cloth, and he said that that bulge just went completely away, and that was back I think in October. And then to hear the testimony of how the Lord gave him the best Christmas present ever by having it here 3 a.m. somewhere in the wee hours of Christmas morning. He went home to be with the Lord. And I was just so thankful what rest I have for him to be able to just to behold the Lord's face and to be with him. And so I'm really thankful for that too as well, that for a sainted man of God that he was and on this earth, and all the testimonies that he had from being a doctor for 45, 50 years, and the Lord would give him wisdom. Sometimes the Lord would just give him one scripture, even though that they were telling, and this is for us as a witness, right? The Lord the medical industry would tell him, like, you can't practice Christianity in front of patients. You cannot do these things. You can't say these things. And they were really, really pushing it down his throat. And he just wanted to bring that in to every instance. And he just kept having people come back, and he wanted to say something, and finally he couldn't stand anymore. And he would have times where the Lord would give him just one scripture. And there was one time a lady just kept asking for a refill of her antidepressant prescription. And he gave her, the Lord just put one scripture on his heart. And she just got up and she said, "That's it. I'm free." And she walked by the prescription counter on the way out, like she would routinely do it. And they go, "Wait, don't you need your prescription refilled like normal?" And she goes, "I don't need my prescription refilled anymore. I'm free." And just to see so many times that when we can just declare and that abundance that the Lord has given us and not hold it back. The Lord's just been working on me this year of the scripture says, we know, do not withhold good from whom it is due when it is in the power of your hand to do it. And what is better than the goodness of God to be able to give that? So that's my heart and my testimony. God bless you.
Amen. Well, the Lord has given me and my family a lot of testimonies. And so that means we've gotten a lot of tests and a lot of trials. And, you know, you realize a lot of times the worst thing you can do is recounting what you've been through and how much it hurts or how frustrated you are. And I think if you're a deep thinker, you can go 5,000 miles in every direction on everything that you're going through and make yourself extremely miserable. Last Monday when we were driving out to camp, it was miserable on the roads, and I was miserable on the inside and just feeling extremely down and extremely depressed, and drop the kids off and think, okay, great, the snow's going to go away, and it got worse. And all the way down to the brother's house I was staying at, another, I think, 2.5 hours, something like that. Within 20 minutes of his house, it subsided and everything was fine. So I pull in and just really feeling down, lay down, get in. He wasn't there yet, so just he let me go in and lay down on the bed and just feeling so frustrated. And the next day, the Lord blessed me with good friends, Brother Jim. I was kind of recounting some of the things that were going on, was staying with him, and he said, "How much was that car repair that you had to do?" And I thought, "Well, that's weird." So I told him the amount, kept talking. Later, he comes out and hands me a check. It says, "I want to pay for that whole thing." So that was the first thing the Lord encouraged me that day, and then later that day went out and went out to lunch with Brother Chad and Chad Lamb, and he spent 3 or 4 hours with me. And really, most of the whole time he spent encouraging me, and he was recounting his sermon. He said, "I don't normally do this, but maybe go back and listen to my Sunday message that he spoke about turning the bitter waters into sweet, and that blessed me so much. The Lord gave me incredible encouragement that day. And as I was sitting at Starbucks and kind of recounting some of the things in my mind, and I said, why do I spend so much time recounting the trials and the struggles? Why am I not writing down all the provisions of the Lord, all the blessings, all the way that he's delivered, all the ways that he's healed? And I decided then I was going to get a little book from Target that I would carry with me wherever I went, and I was going to title it Book of Testimonies, and I was just going to write down those testimonies, make lists of the times the Lord has provided, the supernatural things that he's done. You know, we all go through tests and trials. That's why we're here as Christians, is to grow in faith, and largely how much we benefit from that, from those trials, is how we approach them in our hearts and in our minds. And you know, the children of Israel came to the bitter waters, the waters of Marah, and guess what? Guess who led them there? Not themselves. God himself led them directly to the waters of Marah. But the very same God who led them to the waters of Marah had a predestinated tree. So God planted a tree. He put a seed in the ground. He planted that tree. How old was the tree? What's the details about this? How did God watch over that? Maybe someone came with an axe ready to chop it down and the wind blew. Just making up stories, but you think about God watched over that tree. He ensured that that tree was there for that very moment so that it could be cut down, cast into the water, and not only turn it potable, but to literally make it sweet water. And so if you think about God will literally bring you to a trial, directly to a trial, and he already has a predestinated tree, Christ. Christ in the midst of every trial. You put him in it, he will turn the trial not from a bitter thing, he'll turn the trial itself into not just tolerable, but he'll turn the trial to sweet. Why? Because you'll see Christ in the very trial that you're in. You'll see his work, you'll see his power, you'll see his glory, and then you can recount the test and the trial that he's brought you through. Instead of it being, oh, it's horrible, I feel bad, I'm sad, it's, can you believe what he's done? Can you believe how he's moved? Can you believe how he's worked? It's incredible. And the very trial itself becomes sweet. I think of what happened to me with COVID. It's become something that's sweet of how the Lord has worked. I can think about the last 13 years being full-time in ministry and how the Lord has provided. Every month, every week, every day, the Lord has made a way. And it's been supernatural. I wish I would have been writing down in a book for 13 years the ways he's provided. So many things I've forgotten, lost track of, don't remember, but he has provided so supernaturally. And so this coming year, I really think the main challenge I have for myself is to recount the goodness of the Lord and not the trials and the difficulties and the hurts, and seeing Christ in the middle of it, in the middle of every one of those. Amen. Because if you're in a trial, if you're a Christian and you're in a trial, there is a tree there waiting to be cast into the waters to turn the bitterness to sweet. Amen.
So I read a verse yesterday morning, and me and Mom had a nice talk, and it was about how, I can't remember what verse it was, but it was about how if somebody speaks in tongues, it edifies himself. And if a prophet, in this case, oh, what is the word? I can't even remember anything anymore. Translates it, it edifies the church. So I remembered after that the story Brother Branham told about how he, when, during a service, he had two people, he had a person speak in tongues, and then somebody translated it, and then he came up to them later, and he had visions about them later, and he said one was, like, really clean, he was, like, pure and amazing, and then the other guy, he said, cracked open like a rotten egg. He'd been, like, smoking and drinking and things. So something that I realized was the rain falls on the just and the unjust, but sometimes you can't just judge them on how they look. And then that reminded me of the story that Dad told, where a co-worker came up to him and he was trying to testify to him, but Dad was trying to testify to this co-worker, but the co-worker was an evolutionist, and he was just countering, and Dad couldn't find a way to get to him. And then he went out and talked to the Lord, and then the Lord put, like, something on his mind. I can't remember what it was, but he walked in and then said, what was it? Oh, yeah, he said, if I came in one day and said, I did it, I became an evolutionist, would you be happy for me? And he said, no. And he said, why? He said, I've never seen anybody come out of Christianity and be okay. So sometimes, and like after that, he opened up right up to him, and I can't, did you lead him to the Lord eventually? He's still on the journey. But he planted a seed, and he actually got through. So you can never tell. Okay, I'm shaking so bad. You can never tell what happened to them by how they look or how they act. It's always what's on the inside.
Boy, this has been a blessing, isn't it? Just wonderful. I try to count 10 seconds before I get up so that everybody has a chance to go. We have a few things. We have a lot, actually, to give thanks. But I'm going to start off with a scripture maybe a little bit different. This is Psalms 90, verse 1. It says, Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hast formed the earth and the world. Even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. And, you know, I think we all go through different things, and we really experience the reality of that. You are my constant. You are your home. You're my everything. So we had a few things. But I think for me, the big thing is maybe my work situation. I think some of you know that, but Brother Derek had mentioned recently that he wasn't quite sure what was going on, so I thought I'll give a little testimony. Last couple of years for me have been a little bit bumpy, if you could say that. Maybe some unexpected turns with work. And, you know, some of your brothers know that what that's like, to have some changes and some turmoil with work. But in all of it, I can say the Lord carried me through, the Lord sustained me, the Lord provided. So he is faithful. And we've just experienced that in a whole new way. In these last few years, I went through 2 layoffs in about a 10-month span. And right there, the Lord was just there. He gave me grace right in that very moment to say, thank you, Lord, to have a peace and a confidence that nothing can happen to you but what he allows. And work just lined up. You know, there was just one thing after the next. And I took 2 different two different roles that I didn't want to take. But the Lord, in prayer and faith, I knew he was there. It was not comfortable. It was not fun. You know, but when you're providing for your family, you can't be too picky, right? So I just went forward in faith and in confidence, and he was there. He carried me through. And so we just, at the beginning of November, I started a new job, for anybody who didn't know, started a new one, and that was just a tremendous blessing. And once again, I just saw the Lord go before and open things up and work and move. And the previous one, again, the Lord carried me through, and it was difficult for me, but he was there. He sustained me, and we're just so blessed and so thankful for his faithfulness. So, and then Jamie has, she wanted me to do the talking. Can't imagine why, but she had just a neat, so about a year ago, a little over, I think, she started having some real concerning trouble with her heart. She was out shopping one time, and she thought she was going to just kind of faint or fall over. Basically, her heart would feel like it's kind of either racing or skipping, and she was just on the verge of feeling like she'd pass out. So she went, and this continued for several months. And so she felt, she went to the emergency room, she went to urgent care over and over and over to the doctor, and they would do tests and things, and say, "You're fine, everything's good," you know, and send her on her way. And finally kind of got in touch with a doctor who really kind of dug in and started asking questions. And one of the questions he asked was, "Do you have, or does your family have, a history of sleep apnea?" And she said, "Yeah, my dad." So it turned out, long story short, it was sleep apnea. And as you can imagine, when you're stop breathing up to 40, 50 times an hour in your sleep and you don't know it, that puts incredible amounts of stress on your heart. So that was the finding. She's been great since. You cannot separate her from her CPAP machine. And we just thank the Lord. So we could go on. Of course, but then we also had the tree incident. I think you guys remember that tree that came down in our yard. That came down just at the perfect time of the morning when we weren't outside or anything, and that was massive. We've had several trees down, and nobody injured, no property really damaged or anything. So there's more, but those were the big three that I wanted to share and just say thank you, Lord. He's so good. He's so faithful.
God bless you all.
Thank you.
Last week, Elisha was home. And I got up in the morning, and Elisha was on the phone, speakerphone, with one of the soldiers in his unit. And they were talking about the book of Revelation and some different scriptures. And of course, me being me, I butted into the conversation and started talking to this particular soldier. His name's Eric. He's the one that Elisha asked for a prayer request for. Brought up a Catholic, and he said, "Well, the Catholic Church is the only one that has power to cast out demons." I was like, "Well, you got your Bible, let's turn to Mark." And so we went through a few scriptures, and he said, "Thank you." But what I want to draw from that is there's a blessing that Elisha has of serving in a dark place, but being a light in a dark place. And I'm grateful for that, and it's a testimony to the keeping power of God, because you take these little people. And I remember when Elisha was small enough, I held him in my cowboy hat. And now he's big enough, he's out doing his own thing, doing dumb things like driving from Georgia to Minneapolis overnight with three Red Bulls, no, monster drinks. So, but I'm grateful for the Lord for keeping him. He's seen people die in accidents, in shootings, in the environment that he's in. But I'm grateful that the Lord keeps him. I'm also grateful, and you should be too, if the Lord is still touching your heart and bringing things out in the scriptures that are new to you, small things that you've never seen before. Happened to me recently, kind of saving it for a sermon. But really, it's a question of, Lord, are you still speaking to me? Do I still have a connection with you, despite my weaknesses and despite my frailties? Are we still in contact? And if we are, count that a blessing. And then you say 2025 is over. It's not over. Everything that started in 2025 is carrying on today. Everything that maybe you needed prayer for back then, maybe you still need prayer for it. It's been an interesting year with the death of Sam and Abby's Gideon and all the fallout from that. And I told you at the time in July when this all kicked off, the Lord said to me, everything that you've gone through has been preparation for this point now. And so many echoes from my past that speak into this situation. In that, it's not really a case of saying what I've learned about other people, but a case of saying, you know, what have I learned about myself? I've done things that I don't know, and I'll be very frank with you. I don't know if they're right or wrong, but just the thing that I've done, that you trust in God and you trust the thing that's ahead of you to do and how you do it is of Him. But you don't know, because very often it's not a choice between, you know, do you want to do something good today? Or do you want to do something evil today? Well, if that's simple, we just, oh, I'm going to press the good button and be good. It's a question of, you've got a set of choices before you. Each one of them has its consequence. Each one of them. And when you're the person, as you are in your life, that has to make that choice, you just put yourself in on the mercy of God. So this year I've discovered that, oh boy, I haven't prayed enough, I haven't prepared enough for the things that I've gone through. I've been in situations faced with spirits and realized that I've done nothing to prepare myself for this, to be in a situation to meet the devil where I should have been in a situation prepared to meet the devil. You've all been very kind, you've all been very helpful, and it's been a real blessing. And thank you for that. Brother David coming and giving some big tubs. Jesse helping organize stuff so we could have the children stay over. It's been hard. And some of you have been kind enough to say nice things to me, Sister Lenore. But where I'm at really is there's a song.
I
And this is where my hope is at. Not that someone looks at me and says, oh, Derek, you're doing good, you're struggling through, or you're doing a good job, or you're doing a bad job. But you know that song, Let the Blood of Calvary Speak for Me? You know that song? When the harvest has been gathered, all my work is done. When the last mile is traveled and I've sung my final song, if I'm called to give an answer at heaven's judgment seat, then let the blood of Calvary speak for me. May it write me down as righteous where no righteousness has been, shielding me from wrath and judgment as it covers all my sins. There's no work that I've accomplished, nor my goodness would I plead. Just let the blood of Calvary speak through me. There may be some friends who'd witness and speak a word so kind, but their voice would seem so feeble at such an awesome time. Even you, Sister Lenore. No. But there's a voice that calls for mercy, ringing through eternity. Just let the blood of Calvary speak for me. May it write me down as righteous where no righteousness has been, shielding me from wrath and judgment as it covers all my sins. There's no work that I've accomplished, nor my goodness would I plead. Just let the blood of Calvary speak for me. May that be our testimony. God bless you.
Like Jay has said, we've come through a lot of tests and trials this year and the last couple years. And also, like he said, the Lord has been so good to us. And he's given us blessings beyond what we asked for. And he's done things through the trials, brought us to places we would never have chosen to walk ourselves, but he's done things through those things that I wouldn't trade anything for. When we got turned around at the Canadian border, I came across this quote by Charles Spurgeon, and it's really become a treasure to me. It says, "The worldling blesses God while he gives him plenty, but the Christian blesses him when he smites him. He believes him too wise to err and too good to be unkind. He trusts him where he cannot trace him and looks up to him in the darkest hour and believes that all is well." And we've found that to be true. And even when we still can't see what's going on, we can look up and believe that all is well. And we don't know what's going to happen, but we believe that he's doing something through this, obviously, that we did not have planned, but his will be accomplished through this.
I have so much to thank him for. Initially, not very many people that have been diagnosed stage four live much more than 2 years. Next week, I'm going on 7 years. I have this wonderful Jewish oncologist who keeps saying to me, Mary, you're a walking miracle. There are things going on with my body right now that she sent me to a very difficult procedure 2 weeks ago. And on the morning of New Year's morning, the other doctor that performed the procedure called me and said, what's happening in your body is exactly what Dr. Liz was praying for, because it is what she was praying for. In the last 3 weeks, I have had three doctors call me with some very long conversations on the phone. I can honestly say, between Don, Anna, Charity, Jesse, Peter, Amy, and their spouses, they have really nurtured me. I'm a little embarrassed to say how they've spoiled me. But I can also say we share a prophet, and he has given us eyes to see and ears to hear. And you're right, Jesse. God is good all the time.
God bless you, friend. God bless you, everybody. Just wave me. Wave me, everyone, if you... Yeah, thank you. Mine is to say thank you to God for the trials that we have been through with my family. I want to say that these trials that not only my family, but every one of us that we have, because nobody can say, I don't have any trial. We all are going through things. And these trials, the Bible has informed us that they are to bring the real who we are. Because every son that comes to God has to be tried. The prophet has told us that. And I just say, thank you, God. You know, when Job was tried, he said, blessed be the name of the Lord. And I want to say this, that at one point, I believe I was with my wife, I'm not sure, but we went to shopping at Sam's Club, and I met a manager who was being trained there. And he said that, you know, we got talking. The thing is, I was witnessing to this manager We got talking, and he told me that he lost his son. And he became a heathen. He said, I don't believe in God. I want to tell my brother who mentioned about the loss of our son that we are Christians and we love the Lord. No matter what he brings to us, blessed be the name of the Lord. So the manager, after losing his child, he'd say, why do I have to believe with that God who took away my child? See the difference? The trials that come to you because of the seed gene of God that is in you make you, you know, run to your Father, our Heavenly Father, who is God. So I'm just want to say thank you for your prayers. Thank you, Father. Thank you for everything, the support that you people have given to my family of prayers and financial support, every support that comes from you. May the Lord bless you. The other thing I want to say is you keep us in prayers. We are still fighting to get our kids. We had the court hearing, and there was that move that was there to separate us with our kids. And the God who brought Pharaoh on his knee, I believe is the very same God who is fighting for every child who is here. Because what we have to know is that the reason why we are different from the world is because we can call God our Father. Because, you know, you came from God. You came from the mind of God. And God put something in you that when we go through every trial that we go through, that gene of God, because that's the child of God, when you say, oh God, you know, God hear it. Amen. If you look at it in the scripture, we see when Jesus died and he was taken to the grave, we can see that, these women who are going to go visit, to see the body of Jesus, they were kind of worried and say, oh, who is going to roll the stone for us? Who is going to remove the stone for us? But you see, I'm trying to say here that God, who see our problem, as the brother was saying, the tree and the water of Marah, there is a solution that is there. So in other words, I'm trying to say here to everyone here that every trouble, everything that we go through, God has a solution for it. When you see those women, they are going and they are wondering, who is going to roll the stone for us so that we get into the tomb and, you know, anoint the body of our Lord? But, you know, when they go there, the stone is already rolled. And, you know, when they go there, you know, there is someone to give them a good message. Why are you seeking the one who is alive among the dead? See, why are you seeking the one who is alive among the dead? Now, what is the message here? That the one who is alive is not far. Where is he? He is in you. He is in you. See, that giant, my sister here, a walking miracle. Why? The one, this giant is being encountered by the one who resurrected, who is, amen, praise the Lord. So, you know, I want to encourage everyone of you that we have a Father, and God is such a Father. He is such a Father that before we cry, he's already answering. The other testimony I want to give is that I was injured where I was working. And I've been, I had health issues. And one of it is a shooting pain in my leg. and I could lay on the bed. I couldn't know what to do, but that pain was really shooting. So the thing is, a few weeks ago, we had feet washing and communion, and my brother we were doing feet washing and praying in the room there. And since that day, that pain vanished, and I'm healed. So who is this? It's God. Amen. Praise the Lord. So I'm encouraging every one of us that the goal here is to look to where we are going, because we came from somewhere, and that's where we are going. And where we are going, all the troubles, all the trials, all the things that we go through, it will be something of history. Praise the Lord. Anyway, thank you so much. May God bless you and keep us in prayer. Thank you.
Came up. What's on my mind is how many times in the past we have spoken about God raising up kingdom men and women with kingdom hearts and kingdom eyes and kingdom ears, and how necessary it is for him to work that out, and he is. He's working that out in us. But we have mentioned so many times that God, in his infinite wisdom and love and design, puts the greatest men and women in a place on purpose, where he takes everything away from them, and they have nothing in this physical realm to stand on but him. Jason, look at them all. Okay, look at Noah. Look at Abraham. Okay. Look at Joshua. Look at Caleb. Look at Moses. Count them. Find one man that he greatly used that he didn't do that. So here we are in this place facing these very things. And the most beautiful thing, when Abraham had nothing, no strength of his own, nothing he could look at, nothing he could touch, nothing that he could feel, nothing he could sense around him that would support anything that God had promised him. Right? Nothing. At that point, he found that the word was enough. And I believe we all have to come to that place. When we have nothing left but him, but the word, we find that's enough. And I want to read just a few scriptures. And then musicians, would you just come up? I want to sing a song. Would you find it? Sister, it's I would like us really all to sing when God wants to hear you sing. Because that's not just a church song. I think that's exactly what he's waiting to see in us. Romans chapter 15. Verse 8, now I say that Jesus Christ was the minister of the circumcision for the truth of God to confirm the promises made to the fathers. There you go. That's what he wants to do in us. And that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy, as it is written, for this cause I will confess thee among the Gentiles, I will confess thee. You hear that? I will confess you, Lord. Among my brothers, among the Gentiles, among whoever I am, right? Whoever I'm around, I will confess God and sing unto thy name. And again he says, rejoice, ye Gentiles, with the people. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and laud him, all ye people. And again, Isaiah said, there shall be a root of Jesse. He that shall rise to reign over the Gentiles, in him shall the Gentiles trust. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. That's what he's waiting to see in us. And he's working these things out so beautifully, as it was testified so many. Even those are encouraged by seeing what we have faced and come through. And Derek said, you're right, Derek. It's not over. But he's with us. If he takes more away, so we have nothing in this world. We have his word. Okay, and what did Joshua have to stand on that day, Jay? Everything in this physical realm spoke against any possibility, right? So the only thing he had to stand on was that word. And what did he find? The word is enough. There we go. Would you stand with me? Let's all sing this, because this is where we're at. Their chains were fastened tight down in the jail that night. Still Paul and Silas would not be dismayed. They said it's time to lift our voice, sing praises to the Lord. Here we go. Let's prove that. There you go. Amen. God wants to hear you sing when the waves are crashing around you and the fiery dust around you, when despair is on the sea. God wants to hear your voice when the wisest man has spoken. Your circumstances hopeless as can be. There you go. Just stop a minute and think about that. He's waiting to hear from us. Really? Lord, whatever things look like, no matter what it is, no matter what in this life counters your word and says it can't be, whatever says it's impossible, we're men and women of of his kingdom. We have kingdom hearts. We have kingdom eyes that only see him. And he's our king. And he's given us his word, and that's enough. And we have kingdom ears to hear his voice. Let's sing that last verse. He loves to hear our ears, honors your praise. Pleasant times outweigh the bad by far. But when suffering comes along, we still sing him songs. That is we bless the Father's heart. God wants to hear you sing when the waves are crashing round you, when the fiery darts surround you, when despair is all you see. God wants to hear your voice when the wisest man has spoken and says your circumstance is as hopeless as can be. That's right. Let's sing that again. Sing it to him. God wants to hear you sing when the waves are crashing round you, when the fiery darts surround you, when despair is all you see. God wants to hear your voice when the wisest man has spoken and says your circumstance is hopeless as can be. That's when flood heaven with our praise to our God. No matter what it sounds like, what it looks like around us. God bless you. You may be seated. Let's change the order of the service and prepare to take of the elements. Servers, would you come, please? Is that a wonderful place to come to? Huh? If he strips every single thing away from us, we find and confess your word is enough. That was Abraham's confession. That was Noah's. That was Moses, right? Joshua, Caleb, on down through the history. Every great person that God greatly used, he had to do that. Mm-hmm. What a wonderful place. For I have received of the Lord that which I also delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he said, take, eat. This is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also, he took the cup when he had supped, and he said, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eats and drinks unworthily eats and drinks damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we're judged, we're chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world.
Amen. Did you ask a blessing, brother?
Heavenly Father, we ask a blessing on this bread, symbol of your body, Lord, broken for us, but symbol, Lord, as well of the eternal God, filling all space and time, coming down and dwelling in molecules that he created, in a body that he made. A body that was so simple and understandable, we could compare it to this bread. To say to us, what I give you is life. What I give you is the ability also to go and live a life as simple as bread in front of others that manifests God to them. That we could be broken for others, and that we could manifest God in our broken bodies as well, following on the example of the Lord. Not that we need it for forgiveness of sins or to be good before you, but just so that we can be followers in your footsteps, that we can be sons and daughters of God as Jesus was. So as we eat this bread this evening, may we bear in mind, may it inspire us, Lord, to be your spirit made manifest in a body in this day as well. Those thoughts in mind, bless our time with you. Bless this bread in Jesus' name. Amen.
Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for that precious blood that was shed at Calvary, that blood that washes us from every sin, just like that demonstration tonight, that bleach totally obliterates the stain, sends it right back to where it came from. Father, we thank you for that blood that washes, that blood that cleanses, that blood that unites us with you, Lord. That blood through where you've said there is no sin. We just thank you, Lord, that only you can do such a thing as that. And only you can make such a sacrifice, Lord, as you did. So, Lord, I pray that you help us, Lord, just to realize and grab a hold of and receive with all that's within us that tremendous gift in pouring out your blood, again, which this wine represents, and the Spirit, Lord, which, again, comes to the believer and leads and guides us into all truth, and that we may have fellowship, Lord, with you and with one another. Father, bless this wine and all who come to partake, and bless those who aren't able to be with us tonight, Lord, knowing, Lord, that we are all one body for your glory and honor, Father. And these things we pray, we ask it in the blessed name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Okay, let's come and partake. Thank you. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brother, brethren. He that loveth not his brother abides in death. Whosoever hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer hath life in abiding in him. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. We ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. How do we continue manifesting his life in us? How do we continue to tell him how thankful we are by doing this? And that's why Brother Branham said foot washing is part of those, one of the ordinances that God left us to fulfill. Let's go do that.